Good morning. Good morning. Man, there was some passionate stuff spoke this morning, especially from Cindy. That was powerful. Thank you, Cindy. Did you, when you walked in this building this morning, did you have an expectation for something big and powerful to happen? Yeah? If you didn't, repent. Because we serve a God who's big and powerful and mighty, don't we? We sung about it this morning. The worship team did a great job at really making that point that God is big, and he's powerful, and he's a miracle God. So I just want to say God can do anything this morning, and he's good, and he's powerful, and he's mighty. So we've been going through this study with Jeff, the road trip of Jesus, and he texted me and was like, hey, you can just continue on with this series. And I was like, okay. So I started looking into it, and I was like, I don't know if I want to continue on. So I just kind of wanted to look at some of the things that we've covered so far, and then a few things that have really jumped out at me throughout this series. So how many of you have been on a road trip? Yeah? I've been on a lot of road trips throughout my life. Most of my experiences were pretty not so good in my younger days. I remember being a kid and going on these road trips, and we'd all pile into the car, and we came from Yakima, moved over here to Longview, and so we'd travel over to Yakima to see family a lot during the holidays, and it was like, what, 3-hour drive or something like that, I think, 3.5, something. It was like the worst trip ever, you know, because you're in the back seat, and my brother's elbowing me. The window's got to be up, the window's got to be down. You know, Dad's rocking the Michael W. Smith and Amy Grant CDs and, well, cassette tapes back then. You know, my brother's got the Walkman because he's the oldest one. He's cool. You know, the Walkmans. Yeah, you guys remember those. And he's rocking out to AC/DC over here. My brother. I can rag on him, huh? Anyway, so road trips can sometimes be a little annoying, and they can be a little frustrating depending on who's in the car with you, you know. You love the people in the car with you, but sometimes they just bug you, you know? And I can see the disciples as they're walking on this road trip with Jesus, you know, and we do see the examples throughout the Bible that there's these times where they just kind of annoy each other, but then they also love each other as well. Let's see. So I got some fancy technology stuff here for you. I remember one time I went on a road trip. And I don't know, I thought it was a great idea that I can go. My cousin was living here in Longview, and he decided he wanted to move down to Southern California. And I was like 19 years old. And he's like, hey, go with me. You can come down there and live with me. It'll be great. So I was like, oh, shoot, I don't have nothing going on here, and I just wanted to get out of this town. So I was like, okay, sure. So I was living with a roommate over in Kelso, and I went home that night, packed all my stuff, jumped in the U-Haul and left them the next day. Didn't tell anybody I was leaving except for my mom and dad. And I rode in the U-Haul, and they have this like extended cab thingy like to store stuff behind the, and that's where I sat for like 20 hours. And the U-Haul broke down, and it was terrible. And we ended up in California, and it was just a mess, and didn't seem to turn out the way it should have been. And I ended up coming home, and it was, for some reason, I thought this would be a great idea to relocate myself, but I was relocating myself in a situation where it wasn't the best situation. And so, like I said, road trips, you can sometimes go places where you're not supposed to go, and sometimes you can go places with people that you want to go with, but those people are annoying you. Sometimes road trips are interesting, aren't they? We go to Sun River every once in a while. I know you guys are enjoying these stories, right? I love to tell stories. I'm like to tell stories, so just breaking some ice here. So are you excited? Okay, so we go to Sun River every once in a while, and we go down there and stay in a condo. And this past year, we went down there, and actually, Sun River one's a really tough one, because now I'm an adult, right? So I can do road trips, right? Well, I have 5 children. 4? Okay. So they're not as... The car trips aren't as bad as they used to be, but remember back in the day when we used to go in the minivan, all five of you were in the back, and it was like, whew, we had stuff piled up all over the place. So anyways, this year we went down there, right? And it's just crazy, you know, it's like we get down there and grandma goes with us, and, you know, she's getting old these days, so she has to stop a lot, and, you know, so do I guess. I probably stop more than she does, doesn't I? Anyways, okay, so we get down there, we're staying in this place, right? And I remember one time, all sitting there, and it was really hot in the condo. There's no air conditioning. So I had the front door open, and we're all sitting there doing all our stuff, and grandma and grandpa are watching TV, because that's what they do on vacation, watch TV. And then all of a sudden, like, I think Leah starts screaming, and there's, like, a bat flying around in the condo. So everybody's, like, screaming and freaking out. And they're like, Dad, you got to do something. Get that thing. Nina runs out the door, grabs Ethan and Judah. They're standing outside. Ethan and Judah are petrified because they don't know what the heck's going on. They're just like, oh, my gosh, what's a bat? You know, they're just like freaking out because they're little guys. And Chris is upstairs. I don't think he even budged for the first while. So I'm like, okay, I got to get this thing out of here. Grandma and Grandpa, they're still watching TV. I don't think they even moved off the couch, did they? I don't think they did. So this thing's flying around, and it's like an open, what do you call it? You know, it's open ceiling or whatever. So the thing's like way up there, and so they're like, Dad, you got to deal with this thing. You got to do it. So I'm like, okay. So we fish when we go down there. So I had a fishing net. So I'm like, I'm catching the thing with a fishing net. So I'm chasing this thing around the condo. I get it in the net, pin it down upstairs, and Isaac runs up there, and I think Leah came up there too. And that thing, I had it down there, and all of a sudden I'm looking at him going, the holes in this net are bigger than the bat. And he starts crawling out. You ever seen a bat up close? Those things are creepy. Oh, my gosh, they got these hooks. And he comes out of that net, and he comes out of the net, comes at me. I said, Isaac, grab a box. There's a cardboard box laying over there. We grab it. I throw it on there. I injured the bat. We get it outside. Leah's bawling. Grandma, I put it on the deck to get it to go away. Grandma and Grandpa are still watching TV. A lot of commotion. Nina's still outside. She wouldn't even come inside. And then finally Chris comes out and he says, well, I Googled it and it says the proper way to catch a bat is. Dude. Now you tell me. You throw a towel over a bat. So there you go. You throw a towel over the bat. Anyways, that was an exciting road trip. I should start my teaching. Goodness gracious. Okay, that was fun. Anything can happen. Anything can happen on a road trip. Anything. Now, you know, we can travel across town and consider that a road trip, and a lot can happen just from here to there, can it? In our lives. You know, we travel these short distances. So, okay, let's look. Let's move on. I'm done with that. Okay, so who was Luke? Bam. It's not changing. That's okay. So who was Luke? Luke was a beloved physician. He was a doctor mentioned by Paul in Colossians. We know Luke was a Gentile. Did I say we're teaching in the book of Luke? Yeah, that's where we've been in the book of Luke. So if you have your Bibles, you can open up to the book of Luke. Chapter 7 is where we'll be today. So Luke also was, he was the only Gentile in the New Testament. Did you know that? He was a Gentile who wrote to the Gentiles. It was just pretty cool. He wanted everybody to understand and everybody to get the gospel. He originally wrote the letter to his dear friend Theophilus, and then it spread from there. He took that letter, and they became part of the gospel message. But the original author, who gave him the inspiration was who? It was God, it was the Holy Spirit. So God is the author. They say that he probably used some of Mark's gospel. He probably interviewed James and Mary. And then Mary actually gave some detail. That's why in the book of Luke, there's so much details about the birth of Jesus. Probably because that came from Mary. You know, because you sit down with a woman, and she's going to give you details about the baby. Men are like, we had a baby. The women are like, 7 pounds, 8 ounces, blue hair, blue eyes, but, you know. I had a baby. I was there. I was in the room. I had a baby. Right? So that's pretty cool. Because Mary gave, they say that Mary gave a lot of information. Luke's father was Anakin and his sister was Leia. Darn Wikipedia. Don't Google Leia. Anakin. That's the wrong Luke. Okay, anyways. So moving on. So that's some little back information about who Luke was, in case you were curious. Here's a little recap of some of the things that we have covered so far throughout the series. I don't know if you guys remember any of these things that we talked about. We talked a little bit about the sermon at Nazareth. We talked about unclean spirits, demons. There was a lot of that in the Jesus' journey, wasn't there? The disciples got to see a lot of that and how Jesus dealt with that stuff. And we talked about it. Jeff did a great job at covering a lot of that information. He heals a leper. There's a lot of healing going on. Old wineskins, new wineskins. Controversy over the Sabbath, the 12 disciples. The Sermon on the Plain, which is kind of interesting because the Sermon on the Plain is not the same as the Sermon on the Mount, which a lot of people get that confused. Did you know that? They're two separate events. They're two separate stories that were, it's two separate things that happen, the Sermon on the Mount and the Sermon on the Plain. Some people believe, a lot of commentaries say that it was another time that Jesus spoke about the same story, but to a different crowd. So anyways, so there's some cool stuff that he covered. I think it's been great. I get online, and there's a nice little website that we have that's called evangelonline.com, and you can get all the media on there, and you can go back and you can listen to all these things, and it's good. It's good to do that because we're on this road trip together as a body, right? We're spending time together as a family. We get in that car and we elbow each other and we're doing this together though. And so it's good to get on there and to listen to some of the stuff and just to see the direction that the body's going and to be paying attention and to be listening. So it's been good. That's a lot of stuff that Jeff has covered. And we started this series actually back in May, which is crazy. And he's only about halfway done with the series, so it's going to be cool when we continue on. So it's been like a 7th month journey so far that we've gone on through the book of Luke. And So the question is that Jeff always asks is, if we were on a road trip with Jesus, what would it have been like? What would it have been like? So we want to picture and think of ourselves as if we were there, as if we were one of the disciples walking along the roads with Jesus and watching these things happen. What would it have been like? What would we have thought? What would we have learned along this journey? And I also like to add to that and just say, what can we do today? What is it like today to be a follower of Jesus and to walk with Jesus? And what does it look like today? You know, what was it? It was obviously completely different for us today than it was for the disciples. You know, we tweet about the journeys and our experiences. We Facebook our great things and road trips and took pictures and post them online. But you know, they couldn't do that. You know, they didn't do the selfie with Jesus thing. But it would have been pretty cool. You know, but that's how we, you know, communicate the way that what's going on in our lives these days is we share it, you know, through social media. The disciples couldn't do that. They wrote books, and we have them today. So Jesus, to be a follower of Jesus, Jesus has expectations for us, which is hard for us today because we don't like people putting expectations on us. You know, so when we hear you have to do something, like that, immediately we want to like, no way, I don't want nothing to do with that. You know, if you're telling me what to do, I'm doing the opposite. And it's hard as, you know, I can't imagine being, how hard it is to being a pastor or a counselor these days too, because they sit down with a lot of people and people come to them with their problems and they say this and this and this and this, and they'll give them advice and say, well, if you try this and this and this, and they probably look at them and say, I'm not trying that because I don't trust you. Some people probably do, but who knows? But you know what I'm saying? When people tell us what to do, we get all like, ugh, I know how to do this, you know, better than you, so don't tell me what to do. But Jesus has expectations for us. He said in Luke chapter 6, verse 46, he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but do not do what I say? So Jesus wants us, he has expectations on us to listen to his voice and to obey him. So if you want to be a follower of Jesus, we have to be obedient to the things that he's asking us to do. And sometimes those things aren't so fun. You know, sometimes those things are awkward and weird. And I love Dan's heart, Dan Piper, wherever he is, where'd he go? Because he's so obedient to listen to God's voice, and to, because he loves the sheep and he is willing to be obedient to the things that God gives him and to step out. And so he's a good man. I appreciate him. There's many other in this room who will do that as well. Dwayne did that this morning through worship and the whole worship team, just really being obedient to listening to what God's doing in the room. Yeah, pretty cool. So I said this, but yeah, when we become a follower of Jesus, it's important that we be disciplined and obedient, and a student. We have to remain teachable, because if we walk around thinking that we know it all, then it's going to cause conflict, especially in the church when we're walking together as a body. You know, we got to be so willing to not put ourselves highly over other people and think that we know more than other people and think that we're better than other people, you know, because then we get ourselves into trouble and we start getting judgmental. So we have to remain teachable at all times, being a follower of Jesus. Let's see here. How are you guys doing out there? This probably has nothing to do with my teaching, but I was sitting over there during worship, and I was just like, worship was so powerful this morning. It was really good, and maybe it's just because I was in the right posture, but sometimes, you know, you can be in a great worship service, and, like, nothing happens. You don't feel nothing, but then you posture yourself in the right position. You just, it's powerful. But anyways, it was pretty powerful for me this morning. I'm sure it was for you guys, but I just started picturing the throne room of heaven, and I just started picturing in Revelation where it's gives a description of the throne room, and he talks about the 24 elders surrounding the throne and the thunder and the lightning and the fire and the four living creatures with all the eyes and all the and the four living creatures, all that they can say is holy, holy, holy. And I was just like, what does that have to do with today, God? And I was just like, and I think it's just something to do just to remember how powerful and how mighty God is. And that when we read the gospel and we read that when Jesus says, I want you to be obedient and I want you to follow me, we sometimes forget what it's like when God's sitting on that throne and saying, this is how big I am. This is how amazing I am. That there's so much stuff going on up here, but I love you. You know, my mind and my eyes are on you in that relationship with you. And I don't know. It was powerful. Hang on just a second. Just close your eyes for a minute, will you? Just picture the throne room. Picture yourself seated, standing on the sea of glass, actually, standing on the sea of glass. The Bible says there's a sea of glass, and we will stand there. Look into his eyes. Jesus had the eyes that were like flames of fire. His hair was white as wool. I don't want to take this lightly. I don't want to take being a disciple, taking it lightly. I want to honor God this morning. Have you received all that he has for you? Have you received his spirit? John came preaching repentance, baptizing in water. But the one that came after him came baptizing with the Holy Spirit and fire. Is there anyone in this room today that has never experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire? I'm serious. I don't know why it's in my heart today. Is there anybody in here that doesn't know Jesus, that wants to know Jesus today? Is there anybody in here that just needs, they've repented, but they just haven't got that next step where they have received His Spirit and been baptized in fire? Don't be afraid. I'm not going to do nothing weird. Most of us have received His Spirit, but have we been baptized in fire? Has that refining fire came to cleanse us of our sins? Has that fire come in our lives, the refining fire? Is your life led by the Spirit, or is it led by your flesh? You're looking into His eyes this morning. You're looking into the one who loves you, the one who chose you, the one who redeemed you and set you free, the one who gave His Son for you and me. Beloved, your life is full of fire. Do you want the fire? Do you want the fire of God in your life? Do you want to walk in obedience? Then do what He says. If you love me, you will obey me. So when He says, reach out to your neighbor and love your neighbor, it's not a suggestion, it's a command. Rogers got up here last week and he talked about faith. A man who traveled all the way from Africa, only trusting in God, not knowing where he was going or who he was going to meet along the way. But he did it out of faith, because God is a good God. And He operates by the Spirit and not by His flesh. Just beloved, you are loved by the Almighty God. Like I said earlier, there's an expectation in this room for something big and great to happen. I want you to walk out of this room today not just saying, oh, there's another message, just another teaching, just some more information. I want you guys to walk out of this room changed. I want to walk out of this room changed. I don't want to just settle for just the little bit. I want it all. I want the fire. Just let it come. Let it come now. Speak to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is a person. Holy Spirit is living inside of you. Say thank you for the fire. Talk to the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the fire. Let's go on this journey together. Let's go on this journey together. I got a little sidetracked there. Just a little. I don't know. God's just been doing some cool stuff in my heart, and sometimes I get up here and I just want to do a good job teaching. And the Lord always reminds me that it's not about you, Kevin. Just let me flow through you. And sometimes it's so hard because I'm such an organized person that I want things to go my way. And I just have to step out of the way sometimes and say, God, just have your way. Yeah. And it's awkward at times, but because I'm so good at controlling myself and being in control of what goes on in my life. It was a little detour on the trip. Anyways, it's hot in here.
And fire.
It's fire in his eyes. So I want to look at this section of scripture here. This is Luke 7, 1 through 5. Continue through, we're going to look through it. Jeff talked about this, and he covered some really good stuff, and he talked about finding gold in people. And that was really cool. I'm just going to read through this here. When Jesus had finished saying all this to the people, he returned to Capernaum. At that time, the highly valued slave of a Roman officer was sick and near death. When the officer heard about Jesus, he sent some respected Jewish elders to ask him to come and heal his slave. Verse 4. So they earnestly begged Jesus to help the man. If anyone deserves your help, he does, they said. Verse 5. For he loves the Jewish people and even built a synagogue for us. So the centurion man was a high Roman officer. He had these Jewish leaders. He knew Jesus was Jewish, and he sent these Jewish leaders to Jesus because he had a servant that was sick that he loved dearly. These Jewish leaders were pleading and begging Jesus to heal this servant because it says, because if anyone deserves this, if anyone deserves this done for them, it's this guy because he's a good guy. He's even built the synagogue. But we know that just being a good person doesn't get God to answer our prayers, does it? Just being good is not enough. Because I know lots of good people in the world. But without Christ, without Jesus, then the good is not going to get you your prayers answered all the time. But the centurion, he wasn't a godly man. They say he wasn't a Christian. He was a Gentile. And so he was probably very wise in Jewish understanding, because he knew, he was smart enough to know that he needs to send the Jewish leaders to Jesus because Jesus was a Jew. So he was trying to play by the book. Let's see here. In Ephesians 2:8, we all know this, but I'm going to read it here. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of your works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ for God, for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We've been saved by grace through faith, not by works, but for works. So our good deeds does not save us. Our good deeds aren't going to get us, our servant healed when we ask. It's not about what we do, it's about what he does. It's by grace through faith. God, aren't you glad that God doesn't give us what we deserve? Because he says there, if anyone deserves your help, he does. If God gave me what I deserved, I probably wouldn't be standing here today, right? That's what grace is. Grace is that unmerited favor. Mercy is holding back the judgment that you deserve, right? Mercy triumphs over judgment. Amen? Verse 6. So Jesus went to them, but just before they arrived at the house, the officers sent some friends to say, Lord, don't trouble yourself, but come into my home, for I am not worthy of such an honor. I'm not even worthy to come and meet you. Just say the word, for where you are, and my servant will be healed. From where you are, my servant will be healed. He knew the stories of Jesus. He knew that Jesus could heal. He knew that he heard the stories, and throughout the time that Jesus was walking and along and healing people, and he's like, he's in town. So he says this interesting thing here. He says, I'm not worthy of such an honor. Don't even come to my home. He says, just say the words, my servant will be healed. Our identity is important in figuring out who we are and understanding what our business is here on the earth, right? Identity is important. And so there's a little bit of identity crisis here, because he's saying, I'm not worthy, but then yet the Jewish leaders are saying he was worthy, that he does deserve this. So who's in the right here? Was he worthy or was he not worthy? Because he says he's not worthy, and the Jewish leader says he was worthy. So there's some like conflict of interest here. And I think that identity is so important to figuring out where you are in Christ, where your position is in Christ. And if you position yourself in Christ, it's going to look different. Even as Jesus was tempted to question his identity in Luke chapter 4, verse 3, the devil took him out into to the mountaintops, right? Took him out in the desert. And then he tempted him. He said, if you are the Son of God, tell the stone to become bread. And Jesus answered him, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone. Jesus understood his identity. You know, the devil came and tried to offer him everything. And he said, nope, I know who I am. I'm not going to accept this bargain because I know who I am. I'm confident in my identity and who I am. And that's so important to understand who we are in Christ. I'm a husband. I got married 18 years ago. Yeehaw, we just had our anniversary, 18 years. But that day that I became a husband, it was actually right here on this, actually up on stage, right here on this stage. 18 years ago when I became a husband, I wasn't a very good husband, but I was a husband, right? That's my identity. I was a husband. But as 18 years later, I've become a better husband. So when you find out your identity, you're not going to figure it all out the first day. You're going to figure out who you are, but you walk into that over time. So at 18 years later, I've become a better husband, and in 25 years, I hopefully become an even better one. If not, I have some problems. Like I said, we got to be teachable. Always teachable. Because even ogres have layers. And you got to peel back the layers. It's down there somewhere, right? It takes time. It's just time. The clay and the mold in the potter's hand, you know, on the potter's wheel, takes time to mold and to make that person. You know, God called me to be a father, and it took me 18 years to figure that one out. Still trying to figure that one out, huh? How to be a father. But I'm still a father. I'm still a husband. But I'm in the process of becoming a husband and becoming a father, a better father. So, you know, like, so that's our identity. When we find our identity, we can't instantly think that this is, I got it all figured out now. Got it all figured out now, because it's a process that takes time. Jesus didn't have to figure it out. He was a smart dude. He had it all figured out. All-knowing. Hey, and check this out. I hear Alan Hood talk about this all the time. You know, we were baptized when Jesus came and the Holy Spirit came out like a dove. It was gentle and refreshing, and it came, it floated down and landed on the dove like a dove, and it was all peaceful and this and that. And the cool thing about Jesus is why the dove, it came like a dove onto Jesus, is because he was pure. He was without sin. But when the Holy Spirit comes and baptizes you, he comes in fire, right? He doesn't come like a dove on us. No, it comes violent, refining, right? Holy Spirit comes into your life, and your life ain't the same anymore. It didn't take that with Jesus, because there was nothing in there that had to get rid of. Anyway, sorry. So identity and calling is not something we create. It's something that you receive from your Creator. Identity and calling is not something you create. It's something you receive from your Creator. You discover these things when you follow Jesus. John Mark Comer, the pastor down there at Bridgetown Church in Portland, he says this: to God, your identity, what makes you you, isn't rooted in the past, who you were, or in the person, who you are, but in the future and who you are becoming. That's good. That's good stuff right there. Paul had a lot to say about our identity. And Ephesians, he talks about it a lot in here. He says things like this. This is Ephesians 1. He says things like this. He says, you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. You are united with Christ. God loves you, and he chose you to be holy and without fault. He adopted you into his family. It gave him great pleasure. I'm just jumping around through here, Ephesians. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased your freedom. You've been purchased with the blood of the Son and forgave our sins. He showered his kindness on us, along with wisdom and understanding. This is your identity. This is who you are in Christ, right? And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he had purchased us to be his own people. Amen? That's some of your identity. People are like, who am I? I don't know who I am. I don't understand. I'm trying to figure my things out. The Bible tells you who you are. If you've accepted Christ and you're a follower of Christ, you've been purchased. You've been bought. You've been set free. That's who you are. You're one who walks by the Spirit, not by the flesh. You listen to his voice. You're chosen. You've been adopted. You're a child of the living God. That's your identity. That's who you are. And a father. I am a father. Becoming a father. We have freedom. We have an inheritance, beloved. Luke chapter 7, verse 8. I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers and have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say go and they go, or come and they come, and if I say to my slaves do this, they do it. He, the centurion man, understood authority. This passage actually talks about authority and how important authority is. He understood authority. He was a Roman officer over people. And he understood that Jesus had authority because he was under somebody. He was under God. And we have to choose who has the authority in our lives. Who has the final authority in our lives? Is it our boss at work? Is it our friends? Is it our dearly beloved wives? They have a lot of authority, don't they? But when we understand what authority means, we are under God's authority. He is the almighty power over our lives. We walk under his authority. The centurion man understood that. We're leading up to something here. Don't worry. We're working on it here. You remember the guy? You guys remember this dude? Yeah, Adrian Rogers. He's on the radio. He used to be. I don't know if he still is anymore. I used to, back in the old days, that's all I had was a FM radio, and I used to listen to the preaching station all the day long, listen to a lot of these guys. And anyways, this is a quote from him. He says, remember again the principle. We will never be over those things that God has set under us until we learn to be under those things that God has placed over us. There is strength in surrender. Surrender. Yeah? That's a good one. Who has the final authority in your life? Is it God? At the end of the day, is it money or is it God? Do you let money stress you out to the point where you can't sleep at night? Or do you give it over to God and say, you have all authority on this? I give it to you. Because life's not easy. I'm not promising you that. You all know that. Verse 9 says this. Luke chapter 7, verse 9. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. He turned to the crowd that was following him, and he said, I tell you, this is Jesus who said this, I tell you, I have not seen faith like this in all of Israel. And when the officer's friends returned to his house, they found the slave completely healed. What was it that made him so amazed at this amount of faith? I don't know. It just grabbed me. I stopped. Like I said, Jeff already talked about this stuff, but I wanted to go back because there was something that jumped out. As I was going over this study and looking at all the things that we looked at throughout this chapter 7, I got to this section and I was like, there's just so much in here. And he did a great job. I'm not saying he didn't. But I stopped here and I couldn't move on. I just set up camp here and started roasting marshmallows. And I couldn't get past this point. I was like, Jeff, I'm just going to just kind of just stay in this area because there's some lot here I want to talk about that I couldn't get past. So there's something that amazed Jesus in this man's faith. Remember, I was saying that he probably wasn't a follower of Jesus, but yet the man had faith to believe that God would heal. Explain that one to me. Because I'm a Christian, and I follow Jesus, and I struggle with my faith. I'm not going to give you the answers to this one. You figure it out. I'm just giving you something to chew on here. But here it is. Check it out. So what do we know about faith? We know in Hebrews 11, it says that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And if you were here last week, Rogers did a great job talking about faith. Here's another translation in the NLT. It says, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Here's the ESV translation. Now faith is an assurance of things hoped for the conviction of things not seen. The centurion man had enough faith to believe that God would come and that he wouldn't have to come to his house, but he would heal, that Jesus would heal his son, his servant, and he did. That's the kind of faith that I want to have. The centurion man, let's see here. Sometimes all we have to do is just ask, right? Sometimes we just don't think we're worthy enough or good enough that we're afraid to ask God for something in our lives. And so sometimes I don't ask when I need to ask for help. Sometimes I get frustrated and I get angry. And I just I do this little tool I use. I just say, Holy Spirit, thank you for peace right now. And it just kind of seems to change the atmosphere in my life, because sometimes I just get, and then I just go, Holy Spirit, just thank you for peace. Not give me peace, thank you for peace, because I already have the peace in my heart, don't I? You just have to access it. Your credit card is pretty loaded. You can use it anytime you want. You get lots of fly miles, too. So you access those things in your life by just saying, okay, I'm going to access this now, peace. Thank you for your peace, Holy Spirit. Jesus was amazed. Some translations said he was marveled because of this man's faith. There's only one more time in Scripture where it says Jesus was amazed or marveled, and it was because of the lack of faith. He was amazed because the amount of faith, and he was amazed because of the lack of faith. The only two times it talks about Jesus being marveled or amazed. It's pretty interesting. In Hebrews 11, 6, it says, and without faith it is impossible to please God. And without faith it is impossible to please God. That's gold. Do we have that kind of faith? We choose to follow Jesus? When he says, this is who you are, do we believe it? Do we have the faith to believe that we're who God says we are? When he says you're a son, you're a daughter, do you believe it? Do you have that kind of faith? When he says go to your neighbor and pray for healing because they have a sick son, do you have enough faith to pray and to go and to do that? Because he says that we have an inheritance in him. We are in Christ in the heavenly realms, in those heavenly places. We have access to all these things. But my faith sometimes is weak. I want greater faith. I want more faith. I want faith like the centurion man to be able to believe. I want big faith, great faith. Me and Nina were talking about it at dinner last night, and it's such a hard subject to talk about. Because like I said, the centurion man probably wasn't even a believer, and he had more faith than some people who are believers. And I'm not talking about being like a Santa Claus God here where we ask for things and we, you know, like, goodies and we want a car and things like that. I'm just talking about faith just to get by through life right now, you know, because sometimes just rolling out of bed in the morning is hard enough. Sometimes just going to work in the morning is I just need enough faith to do that, you know. Or when I get to work and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, here we go, another day of just being me at this work job, and you know, and but I want to operate in the Spirit, and I want to operate out of fire, but I'm sitting in a garbage truck. You know? And I'm like, okay, God, I just barely have enough faith to make it through the day today, you know? And how do I live in that position of just operating out of fire and spirit all the time. And then I get angry because a dog knocked over a garbage can and I got to clean it up. But then I can access his spirit and say, thank you for your peace today. Thank you. This teaching is like all over the place. I hope there's some good nuggets of truth in here that you guys can grab hold of. Do we question our identity at times? Do we understand who we are? Do we understand the authority, the power that God has given us when we're under his authority? Do we understand the inheritance we have in Christ? When we walk with Jesus and we talk with Jesus, he says Abraham was a man who was known for his great faith. Abraham walked with God. He was close to God. I think sometimes when we're not close with God and we're not walking next to him, our faith probably starts to dwindle a little, right? But the closer we draw near to him, the closer he will draw near to us, and our faith will increase for those bigger and better things. I'm in a process of learning. I'm just preaching to myself here, so you guys are just getting the overflow of it. And that's all you do when you come up here, is you just preach to yourself. And it's just a word of an encouragement in our own lives of just like, we can operate out of this place of great faith, but we got to stay in connection with Jesus. We got to become his friend. I actually titled this teaching, Friends of God, because I want to be a friend of God. I want to be like Abraham, who walks and talks next to God, so that I can trust for those things when he says, I'm going to give you a son, Isaac. And 100 years later, how many years was it? I forget now. Abraham's promised. I don't remember. 40 years? I can't remember now. That's not in my notes, sorry. If I don't have notes, I can't remember. Anyway, so you know what I mean? And so he was able to believe for something that wasn't there. Faith is believing in something you cannot see. Faith. We have to believe for those things. It's so hard, though. So hard. Life is not easy. Faith also comes by hearing. When we hear the word, when we hear his words. So being in the word is so important, because that's how we're going to hear his voice. Some people say that I don't ever hear God's voice. Do you read the word of God? Because that is his voice. Jesus had a brother. Did you know that? His name was James. Yeah. James, can you imagine being Jesus' brother? Can you imagine being James? Like living with Jesus and be like, they come home from school and like James did something they shouldn't have, and they look at him and they're like, James, how come you can't be more like your brother? Jesus. You know, they're like, at the dinner table, they're always like, in Jesus' name, amen. You know? Poor James. He had a rough road, right? You know, and you know where sometimes brothers, like, you know, they go and they hang out a lot together, and Jesus is probably out there walking on water, and James is like, well, if he can do it, I'm doing it. So James goes out there and he sinks. Smothers brothers. So where was I? James. So it would have been a tough one to be James, but this is what James says. This is amazing, because this is what James, James figured out his identity, and he says, this is a letter from James, a slave of God. So I'm just going to jump through. I'm not going to read the whole thing. He says, when troubles come of any kind, consider it an opportunity for great joy. When your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord if they waver. Oh, wait, I skipped that. But when you ask, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Man, I want that kind of faith. He understood that he was a slave of God. He understood authority. He understood that Jesus had authority over him. He submitted himself. He was a servant. He served. Great leaders are great servants. Remember that. That's so important. Great leaders are great servants. they understand how to operate in servanthood. James understood that he was a slave. And he says, if your faith wavers, you will not receive anything from the Lord. And when times come that are testing and hard, consider it pure joy. Let it grow. Like I said, I'm a father, but I'm also becoming a father. I'm a husband, but I'm becoming a husband. So as that faith, little seed of faith is in your heart, it's going to grow over time. In relationship with Christ and hearing his voice, being obedient, following him, that faith will come to believe for bigger, better, greater things in our lives. And maybe it's just not even about for us. Maybe it's just to have the faith to believe in somebody for somebody else sometimes, you know, because we see people struggling and we're like, I wish I could help that person. And I just pray that we have that kind of faith to be able to believe not only for ourselves, but for other people. So it's not just, the focus isn't always on us, but it's about loving the body of Christ. So as we walk on the journey and we rode this road trip together, there was just something that just jumped out in this section, and I just wanted to really go deeper in it. And I hope that I took you a little deeper in this section of scripture. I hope I can give you a little bit of truth and a little bit of nuggets that you could take home and maybe work through and maybe ask questions in your own life. I don't know. But like I said, this is mostly just stuff that I'm going through. So, you know, it's a overflow of what's in my heart. And I think I was kind of all over the place today. And I don't know, it was kind of an awkward message. But I think when the bottom line comes down to it is just, let's do this thing together. Let's do this together. Thanks. Let's walk in the Spirit, not by our flesh. Let's not offend people. Let's not tear people down. Let's build each other up in Christ. I need you guys as much as you need me. We need each other, and we have to walk together. We have to go deeper in his word. We have to understand what it is to be obedient. We have to have the faith to believe that there's something bigger and better coming. And Jeff does a great job every week getting up here and saying, I believe for something better. And that's why I love to be a part of this body, because he's always looking for the next thing. He's always chasing after the next step. He always believes, he has the great faith to believe for something big and something amazing. And I don't always have that faith, but I can jump into his faith and say, yeah, I'm going to agree with you. And you have the opportunity to do that as well, just to agree with people. Say, I'm not quite there yet, but I agree with what you have to say. So I just thank you, Lord, this morning. I thank you. I thank you for giving me the opportunity just to get up here and just to be myself. Yeah. And to stand before a group of people that are not just strangers in my life, but they're my friends and they're my family. I'm so glad that we can do this thing together. So glad that we can dig into your word, because we believe that your word is all truth. It's all authority in our life. Lord, I just pray for a greater expectation of faith, a greater expectation for things when we walk around in this city. That we would walk in the Spirit and in fire and expect great things for the future. That we would just be putting on a show when we walk in this room, Lord. That we would walk in this room and we would say, who's hurting today? How can I help? When we walk in this room, we can say, what needs done? What can I do? Where can I serve? Where can I love? Where can I give today? This road trip with Jesus is a continual road trip that it will last for a long time. And we're going to get annoyed with each other. We're going to rub each other wrong. We're going to elbow each other every once in a while. But I just pray that if there is any offense in this room, that it would be gone today. If there's any bitterness that we're holding on to, I just ask today, God, that you would take that away from us. And Lord, again, I ask that your fire would come and it would fall in this room, Lord. And it would change us today, God. That your fire would change us. So we cannot be that same person we used to be anymore. I pray that you would teach us to walk in our calling every day of our lives. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Just put your hand on your neighbor for a minute, will you? Put your hand on your neighbor. Lord, I pray that you would mark the hearts of your beloved bride today. Mark them. With their eyes closed, Lord, I pray that you would give them a picture of who they were called to be, so there's no confusion of who they are. And that, Lord, I pray that you would give them a greater measure of faith this morning. In Jesus' name, I ask you. Let the fire fall. Let your fire come. Let your spirit take control of our lives. We trust you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We thank you for everybody in this room. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys.